An interview with Virginia Reed Moore at her home at 345 Bayshore Avenue, Long Beach, California. The date is December 19, 1982, and the interviewer is Ann Andrews. We usually begin, Mrs. Moore, by asking where you were born.
All right, I was born in Long Beach. Mm-hmm.
Were you born at Seaside Hospital? Or
no, at home. I guess in that day, I don't think Seaside. I think I'm older than Seaside. It was on Elm, right below St. Mary's Hospital,
okay.
At home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where your family was living?
At the time, I guess. And my cousin, who was born 9 days before I was just also born in a home around the corner. And probably, if you haven't talked to her brother, you should, and that would be John Hancock.
I'd like to talk with him,
yes.
And I was thinking of approaching him.
Uh-huh. He certainly would be the oldest one of our family that's still quite an active man and would have a lot of memories.
Yes.
Yeah, because he was actually in the business.
Yes.
And so he is about, how old is he, 6 years older? But anyway, he's fine. And you should really interview him.
I'd like to.
Yeah.
I'd like to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, what was it like growing up in Long Beach?
I suppose I don't have... It was just nice, you know. I have no particular memories. I know that we moved when I was a youngster, and the first house I ever remember living in, I guess, was in Miramar, right across the street. Yeah, we're going to be interrupted by my son Charlie coming in. You want to punch him? As I say, the first house I really remember was on Miramar, in the corner, 3rd Miramar, across the street from the church that is there now. And all I ever remember about that one is the fact that my uncle, Sonny, that would be Eugene Sully Hancock, was coming home from the war, the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very exciting. I absorbed the excitement. But he was in China, so I don't know how he got there or why.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it was a little while after the war.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have some napkin rings, cloisonne, that he brought my mother from
mm-hmm.
China. So that was a very important event. So that's one of my first memories, and then we did live at the Argyle Apartments, and they're still there. They're wooden apartments on Ocean Boulevard, this side of the east of the Pacific Coast Club. And we had an oceanfront apartment. So as a youngster, this is kindergarten.
Yes, yes.
Kindergarten. I played on that marvelous beach, and of course then we got clams, my
yes.
goodness. You could even get Pismo clams, beside the little bitty ones,
yes.
make clam broth, but we even got some big Pismo clams. And we'd ride the breakers too then, right before with the breakwater. So it was fun. And it was a wonderful spot for a little girl to be on the ocean there before there were too many houses.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summer, my cousins from Kansas City would come out, and one boy was 3 years older and one boy was 3 years younger, and I remember we just had marvelous times together because they would spend the summer
mm-hmm.
in this wonderful place, Long Beach on the ocean, you know, to
mm-hmm.
get away from the heat of Kansas City. So this involves how I skipped a grade. It seems that the public school was that public school on about Atlantic and Fifth, it's still there.
Yes.
And Mother didn't want me crossing all those streets across ocean and to get to this. I couldn't go by myself, in other words. So she sent me down to a private kindergarten. It was near Miss Porter School for Girls, but it wasn't that particular one. And I was going to the kindergarten, you see, but I sort of was looking over my shoulder at what the first grade children were doing, so I told the teacher, oh, I can do that.
And she said, well, you ought to be in first grade. So the next day, I just went into the first grade. I promoted myself. And she didn't have courage enough to put me out, so I skipped one. That's why I got to first grade half a year in advance.
Do you remember the name of that school?
No, it was Huntington School.
But oh, it was Huntington School.
Yes, but it wasn't when I went to it.
I see.
I don't think it was. It was a private kindergarten grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think it was Huntington then. But it's a vacant lot now. They tore it down.
How long did you attend that school?
Oh, just it was kindergarten. That, then we moved to the area where my family lives on East 2nd Street, 2904 East 2nd, and 100 Temples, which is still the same area. It's Temple and 2nd and Temple and 1st, so that's really where I grew up after I got in the first grade. I went to Horace Mann. And when it was before earthquake, naturally, it was a different kind of building than it is now.
And then after Horace Mann, what school did you?
Jefferson and Wilson.
Do you remember some of your teachers? Were they?
Yes, I said I still see. Oh, not so much influenced me, but I do remember chemistry teachers carried me to death. And I still, I said, what's her name? But she was a homeroom teacher, and I still see her at AUW. I think she's still here. And I can't remember. She's a French teacher. I never did have her for French, but she was my homeroom teacher. And I liked it because we took a trip in the imagination around to France, you know, see, in her room. So it was kind of, it was more fun being in her room than just an ordinary homeroom.
You said you attended Occidental College.
Yes.
Did you choose Occidental for any special reason?
I think I probably went to Occidental because my friend went and Mary Jean Forbes, she married Forbes. Her name was Mary Jean Childs, and she was Dr. Childs' daughter. And Dr. Childs and the elder Dr. Buell were very good friends, and all the Buells were very strong Occidental people.
Mm-hmm.
And Art Buell, of course, went there, and Jimmy, the younger boy, they both went there. And I think because the Buells were such strong Occidental people, they interested Mary Jean, my friend, and she interested me. So that's the way it went.
So you got your bachelor's from Occidental?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And then I just kept on going because I skipped myself in a grade, and then I went out to Los Cerritos. My family moved to Los Cerritos. Just rented a house. They thought they'd try living out there. And it happened to be just at the time when they were drilling, discovering oil out in the Los Cerritos area. And between all the excitement of oil well fires, which were uncontrolled in those days, and the fact that Los Cerritos was so far out, no one ever came to see us.
Mm-hmm.
So far away.
Mm-hmm.
That we only lived there about 9 months.
Do you remember where the house was?
A Weston Place.
On Weston.
And it's still there. It's still there in Weston Place.
Yeah.
Cute little one-story bungalow. And I can remember the Desmonds went to school when I did. I started to say how I skipped the other part of the grade. I got out to La Cerrita School, and they, being a small school, they had all the fifth grade and all the sixth grade in one room. In those days, they had 5A, 5B, 6. I was in the 5A. Well, two, three people were in the 5A, the 5. They was anyway, so they skipped us all, so we all come out even. Which means that I finished school too soon. I wasn't mature socially, shall we say, although I was intellectually mature, maybe. So that I just kept on going to school because it seemed the safest thing in a way. I really wasn't ready for the big world.
I don't know if you had a few people who grew up in Los Cerritos, Marge Conley.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And Don Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me about what it was like out there. It did seem like country.
It was. And I remember playing at that
Las Cerritos Rancho when it was all run down because we played with, I guess, the children of the Mexican family that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of ruined, but they didn't live. It just was part of the house,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because
mm-hmm.
And there really were oil well fires. And once the teacher wouldn't let us out because, you know, of the fire. And she wouldn't let us go home unless we were escorted to be sure that somebody was at home. And I remember Walter, he was older, you see.
Yeah.
So I remember he took the responsibility for the younger ones to see that they got home.
Mm-hmm. So I heard about there being blowouts. I think on well on Bixby and Pacific, someone told me that was a blowout one time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what it was. I don't really remember what it was, but it was really exciting, and the teacher was quite concerned.
Yes.
And I remember that particular school that they still had the school bell, and if you got there early enough, the caretaker would let you ring it, you know, for the 8 o'clock class or whatever, whenever we had to be there. And being from Horace Mann, where they had cafeteria, you know, I mean, for the little ones, I was just shocked that I got out there and found you had to take your lunch.
Yes, yes.
Because it would be like a country school, wouldn't it?
I've heard it was also the Mother's Club did all these kind of interesting things with the children. When the circus came to town, the mothers
because you have to go so far, probably.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember Marge Conley saying that she played on the baseball team because they needed girls.
Because they needed someone else.
They didn't.
Yeah, sure. They just didn't have enough for team. Yeah.
So, but the girls had just as much fun as boys.
It was a good school, and I think probably the people that lived there had more of a feeling of a little separate community.
Yes.
So I probably better answer the phone.
Then you got a master's as well from Occidental College?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
I checked out your book out of the library.
Oh!
Contemporary Opinion out of the Long Beach Collection. I was reading it. Didn't read it too thoroughly, but I was there.
Well, you skimmed it. That's fine. That's good.
Was that the master's thesis?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was. It's right here. You know.
Well, it was, you know, what you have to need for a master's thesis.
Okay. Have you done any other writing?
No. I leave that to the rest of family.
And then you told me earlier that you'd gone to Berkeley for...
Yes, the library school. Mm-hmm.
So you have a degree in library
science,
is that?
Well, not a master's. Just 1 year, you mm-hmm. see, just a graduate. But not the 2 year master's degree, no.
Did you ever work as...
I worked at the Long Beach Library.
The Long Beach Public Library?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh.
But not too long. And I worked at Camp Elliott in San Diego for a while.
I'm not familiar with
it. Well, it's a neighbor base at Camp Elliott. It's out in the Mesa.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which branch libraries did you work in at while you could just work at Maine?
Well, I just sort of substituted at Maine, seems to me. And at Burnett Branch, I guess, was there.
Mm-hmm.
And... Yeah, the other place is just sort of like a substitute. It wasn't there too long, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Then at that point I got married, so I didn't really work very long in the library.
Did you meet Mr. Moore in Long Beach? Is he at Long Beach?
Yes. Well, he and his mother were living in this house, actually. And my cousin lived down a few houses down.
Mm-hmm.
And she met him and introduced us. So that was about whenever during the war years that he and his mother came here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I usually ask people is, what were they doing when the earthquake happened?
That's a good conversation starter.
Yeah, isn't it? Someone else has a story.
They always know. I just went to the Historical Society meeting. It's Friday, luncheon, mm-hmm. and it was a very nice program. And one woman reminded everybody about 40 years ago we had this so-called attack, you know, from the air raid, the Long Beach air raid.
Yes.
And so then everyone there wanted to say what they were doing during that particular thing, you know. Well, anyway, during during the earthquake, we lived at 100 Temple, which is at the corner of Temple and Fifth Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother and I were just before dinner, finally sick. We were sitting in a little room like that off the dining room, I suppose, reading the paper, waiting for my father to get home. He went to the filling station at Broadway. It's still there, the filling station at Broadway and Temple, and was getting it. And it just finished, and so that he was coming out of the station in the car, and he thought it was an explosion in the grocery store next door. So he got out and started directing traffic, and he never thought to come home because he thought all the excitement was that corner, and he didn't even think that we might be in trouble, you see. But the mother and I were just there, and we looked at each other, and it was a funny thing. My first thought was a Japanese bomb. So, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So it must have been a lot of talk, even then, because
uh-huh.
that's what I thought first.
Huh.
And then, we went outdoors like you shouldn't do. That's
yeah.
after it stopped. And our dog, it was a Great Dane, was lying down on the floor between us, and he got up and he had left. He absolutely left before that earthquake. And he had a lame leg, and that dog jumped a 6-foot fence and left.
Hmm.
So he was gone for a couple of days, and later a friend said that he was down at Dixie Park. That's where they had set up the soup kitchens, and people were feeding him down there. But he was so frightened from the motion that he felt before we were aware of it.
That's what I always understand.
The animals
were
Yeah, and he had time enough to leave before Mother and I didn't knew there was anything to be frightened about, you know? We really weren't that frightened. My grandmother was living at 1721 East First, and she was in bed. And she got up and went downstairs, and she had a housekeeper with her, and went out and asked a man to drive her to her daughter's, just down the street. So he did, and then she came in our house and got an owl bed, and Mother said to her, "Mother, why is our bed any safer than your bed?" Earthquake. Well, the only thing that happened to our house was the chimney next door fell into my father's bathroom and knocked a great big hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
So all we did is kind of put some canvas over it, and that went on for a year. And finally, they decided they should have it fixed. So my father hated any workmen around. So he rented the house on Ocean and Temple, which was the old hatch house, you see, and it was for rent because they weren't there. They moved. So we rented it for 3 months while our house at 100 Temple was being fixed, but he liked the view so much.
Mm-hmm.
He never moved back,
mm-hmm.
absolutely never moved back to 100 Temple, and he sold it to my Uncle T. Hancock for $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, was your family associated with T.E. Hatch?
Ellsworth Hatch was one of my father's very good friends.
I see. Yeah.
And I do know that he always liked the security bank very much, and I think they probably were very helpful to him in his business life.
Well, now his insurance business was in the security specific building?
Well, first. It was at 27 Locust.
Yes, I see.
And then when the building was built, then he moved, they had temps on the temp floor of the security, yes.
Well, we've recently gotten access to bank papers from security banks.
I see.
And we have them at the University Library now, and they're going through them. They haven't given the papers to us as yet, but, there's an
mm-hmm.
understanding that we have them. And so, and going through all of P.E. Hatch's papers and
mm-hmm.
J.E. Hatch's papers, I found some references
mm-hmm.
to your father,
mm-hmm.
Will Reed. And, in fact, I think there was a reference to some property that was owned in Los Cerritos, a whole section between San Antonio and Stewart Way.
A lot that he owned, yes. Yeah. He did buy a lot, and he got it one time. It was a very nice, big, prime location nowadays, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe we'd build it, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He preferred getting closer to the ocean.
Yeah, he liked it, yeah. Yeah, I liked it. He liked it. Yeah. He just didn't want to move. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't really started to ask you about your parents at all yet, so perhaps now is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that your father, Will J. Reed, came to Long Beach in 1911. Is that right?
I don't know. I have no idea. Probably my aunt would know.
Well, I'm basing that on what's in Walter Case's book on Long Beach.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got that, too. I could read that. Oh, yeah. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell me something about your father.
I don't know. You know a child that doesn't know a father too well.
All right. So he's
a very wonderful person. He's very fair and very sensitive, and he's just brave and fair play. He was also a good worker, too. I know that because I do know very well that by that he means he got up very early in the morning and he would have breakfast by himself, especially I remember at 2801 East Ocean. There was a little tiny room up above, and he'd always sit there and read the paper and think and make notes to himself, and he'd go out for a walk maybe. In other words, he needed time to himself in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I imagine he just got all prepared for the day's activities.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would go down to the office in the security building and spend some time there, and then he'd go out to the Hancock Oil Company. He really did use a lot of time to think things through and figure things out, and I know he did it before he had to tackle people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And then did he meet your mother here in Long Beach?
I'm sure that my uncle Lem, which is the one that lived down here in Bayshore, Lemuel Hancock, and he worked for the Long Beach Improvement Company, which my grandfather Hancock and the sons, I presume, started, and I think probably my father worked there, and probably my uncle introduced my father to his sister, from what I gather, although I'm not real sure. My aunt, however, there's a good source. My Uncle Lynn's wife, Aunt Lene, is still living, and she would have marvelous memories, because she and her sisters even worked for that early movie studio that was in Long Beach as extras or something, you know?
Oh.
And she, and maybe she didn't, but her sisters did, I know. So she would know these things.
Oh, and you have lots to talk about.
And she lived out Las Cerritas in the old days, too, I remember. One of their first homes was out in Las Cerritas after she married my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd be a good person because I don't know how old she is, but, you know, she's
good. Yeah, yeah. Well, I talked to several ladies who are 87, and
yeah,
it's amazing what they remember how active they still are.
I had the best public TV series in Hawaii on Queen Liliuokalani, and so many 92 to 6-year-old women that remembered the Queen.
Oh.
And then that seems so far, because she died in 1917, you see.
Yes.
So isn't that wonderful,
yes,
that they have this great old history,
yes,
of that event,
yes,
of some incidents in the life of the Queen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in reading about your father then,
mm-hmm,
he evidently, with his insurance business, according to Walter Case, organized the Inter-Insurance Exchange of Tunica.
Oh, yes, yes. And he was the first man that ever, they couldn't have any insurance until he be doing this up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember going, hey, go over here, I'm getting mixed up in your cord with my glasses. But anyway, I remember going down to San Diego often and driving there because he had to see someone in the about their boat. And it would take 4 hours then to get to San Diego, and we used to stay at the U.S. Grand Hotel, a big event. And I think we went to see Harry Lauder down there. I think he took me to see Harry Lauder.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that in the theater in San Diego? But yes, he did, and some of his, he really kept him in touch with these wonderful men that he met in the fishing business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just at the start of the war, no, it must have been afterwards because, yeah, my husband was there. It would have to be after the war. One of the men that were boat builders was building a Navy boat. He couldn't tell you what kind it was, its number, anything else, but he had me christened it, so I remember that much.
At the Long Beach, in Long Beach?
It had to be in San Pedro.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It wasn't
a
Craig building.
No, it was not. No, it's a man's name who it's hard to pronounce, you know, like it was Greek or Yugoslavian or something.
Uh-huh.
And so but it was exciting. And that was a man that he met because of the insuring fishing boat.
Could it have been Bogdanovich?
Yeah, that's funny.
So, was it because of your uncle, your associate, your father being married to a Hancock that led to his association with Hancock Oil Company, or how did that all come about? Do you remember?
I don't really remember, except one of my interesting memories is that when we lived at 2942nd, I can remember my cousin, whom we called Junior, which would be John W. Hancock II.
Uh-huh.
And his father, my Uncle Walker, coming to our house and showing the shield, you know, like the old gasoline stations used to have little signs out that would kind of swing back and forth. And they had dreamed up the Hancock coat of arms and this cock crowing. Anyway, in the shield, they showed it to us. But my Uncle Walker was an inventor turn of mine. And they were in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma did have oil. I think he was connected with the Cameron Refinery Company, which my aunt married a Cameron. Anyway, he had experience, you see, back there. And so when oil was discovered in Signal Hill, I suppose that it seemed the opportunity was here. And I do know that my Uncle Lynn, that here, was more of a promoter type person. He was a good salesman. He always was a good salesman. So somehow they all got the brother-in-law and the brothers, they all got together and decided that was on the Hancock Oil Company, and I think probably they all worked equally hard, but I do know that my Uncle Walker was the more scientific bent, the refinery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he knew about mechanical things.
Mm-hmm.
And then my Uncle T, which would be William T. Hancock, was also that type. So you had two men who were really good on the refinery and the mechanical part of setting it up, and I think while my father was more of a businessman, and they needed both.
Yes, yes.
So, I think he was the businessman who could be the president and deal with the people. Well, he'd lived in Long Beach, and they hadn't. So he knew the people here and the people who would help finance it and the people they could sell the stock to. And my Uncle Lynn, of course, helped sell stock and get the company started, but he didn't stay with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other people, well, made it their life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My Uncle Walker died fairly early, and his son was just about 21 when he died, or 20. and he was still going to school, but he went right into the company, you see, at that
mm-hmm.
age.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested then, how did Leopold Hancock do on the Hill? Did they lease property? Did they own property on Signal Hill? Do you know how that sort of evolved?
Well, they built the refinery up there. Actually, just before you came, I got rummaging around the drawers, and I found the 25th anniversary booklet
of
Hancock Oil Company.
Oh.
So if you'd like to look at
it, I would like to see that.
They got that land. They bought it right away. Signal still owns it. You know,
where is that exactly?
At 2828 Lemeekle.
Oh, okay.
So, and it is the Signal Oil Company mm-hmm. property because mm-hmm. it was a merger, you know,
mm-hmm.
and Signal, it's the company now. And of course, it was after my father's death, they had that terrible oil fire out there.
Yeah.
And after that, it was no longer used as a refinery, but they still used it as an